Hey, Chicago, this is New Year's Nicky Martinez. I hope you're all excited for New Year's coming up and you hit a Merry Christmas. You're listening to The Holy's Holy on 1240 AM Chicago, WSBC. Hit it.
The Hooli's Hooli. It's post-Christmas Hooli's Hooli. That was New Year's Nicky Martinez. Yep. I'm Patty Houlihan. I'm here with my brother, Bill.
Yeah, what is it? Episode 8 or 7?
Lost track.
Lost track. It's been that while. We've been cruising along. We can't even keep track of what it is.
This has got to be episode 8, because this will be the last week of December.
Yes, episode 8. Rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
How was Christmas?
Great.
I'm so glad it's over.
Me too.
It was just, the stress of it was just driving me crazy.
The commercialism of it is causing the stress, really, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's just everything gets bunched up. I don't know. The business that I'm in is just insanity around this time of year. Everyone's trying to get everything crammed in before the end of the year, making those final sales pushes.
Mm-hmm. In the booze industry, and that's a big because people want to get drunk.
Well, this
New Year's is coming up.
Well, no, I mean, we're not even finished.
Martinez wants to get drunk.
Absolutely. Where did you meet him?
I met him at Janet Davies' ABC7 party last year. He was pounding Modelo's, and
invited him to come on and do the lead this week, huh?
Yeah, we've been kicking it ever since. We got silly with it that night.
Oh, very nice. Now, what inspired you to go to the Janet Davies? Just because she's the host of that rockin' thing on, what is it? Do they have that, like, the Hilton every year or something like that?
It's at Navy Pier.
It's so cheesy.
It is.
So, sorry. I'm not a big New Year's guy. I was maybe 10 years ago.
You were? I've never been into it. It's been amateur night from the beginning.
In high school, it was like a big deal.
New Year's Eve.
Yeah, because you wanted to find that one house where you could, you know.
Of course.
The New Year's kiss.
Yeah.
That was the big thing. Like
that was the big ending in that movie, Can't Buy Me Love, the New Year's party.
It's a great movie. Patrick Dempsey. That's pre-McDreamy.
Pre-McDreamy Dempsey. And you know what? He's Irish.
Yeah.
But a lot of Irish people would not want him to be Irish, you know?
Yeah. Ronald McDonald Miller is who he plays in that movie.
Ronnie Miller. You went from totally geek to totally chic back to totally geek.
Yeah, I think that's the line. You know who else is in that? Gerardo. Remember him?
Rico Suave. Ale Alico. Yeah. Rico. That's
about it. Those are about all the names I can remember of anybody.
That went on to be a star?
Well, Patrick Dempsey obviously did. Gerardo had his 10 minutes of fame.
He did.
That was about it out of that movie.
He's
still a cult classic. Still on TV.
It is a cult classic. What was the guy? Bobby from Iowa was the boyfriend that came home. Cindy Mancini.
Yeah, I was watching it. Bridget loves that movie. Everybody, a lot of people love that movie.
It's one of those movies it's always used to be on like USA Network or something like that in the middle of the afternoon.
But uh-huh.
It's pretty good. It's a good New Year's movie.
On to other things, though.
Yeah.
We can't sit here and dwell on Can't Buy Me Love all day. What did you get for Christmas? Anything special?
No. It's all about the kids for me.
Yeah. Was Charlotte excited?
Yeah, she was thrilled. That's part of the stress of it for me. It was like, man, these toys are wallet-breaking now, you know?
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. I went to Toys R Us when I was looking for a gift for her, and Legos are like $50 now.
Yep.
That's insane.
Yeah.
For a Lego? $50?
$50, and your kid puts it together in like 20 minutes. With
exactly.
Like, that's it. It's the fun of it.
That's why I didn't get her the Legos. I was like, she's going to get... Well, I mean, I don't know if she wouldn't get disinterested with it, but she'd put it together, and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you can do other designs with it and different things, but you know what's kind of cool that I was looking for is that... remember the SS... I don't even know.
Etch-a-Sketch?
Etch-a-Sketch. Yeah, they don't have those anymore, do they?
Yeah, they got them. They're at the dollar store now.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah. Kids aren't interested in that. They want, like, Charlotte wanted this giant playhouse. I found out how much it was. It was $185 for one toy. I was like, what are you going to be kidding me? And then I can't, you know, it's hard to justify
I suppose
that.
We asked for stuff like that. Although, I don't know. Remember, I mean, Sega,
we never got stuff like
I don't even
that.
Think, was Sega Genesis even that much?
Sega Genesis was probably like $110 then.
Which
know?
Was obviously probably like spending $250 today.
That's pushing
15
it.
Years ago? 20 years ago? Absolutely. I don't think that's pushing it. The inflation in the economy over that time span?
Yeah. Well, hopefully I'll be able to afford more things with the new little business venture that I've got going with Mr. Bolt, our old English teacher. Have I told you about this?
Oh, no. You know, I've heard little whispers about it, but not really much.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go to work with him with Green Owl, his company. And the Green Owl company is a grout and tile and carpet cleaning service company. But more importantly, it's a green-friendly, environmentally friendly carpet cleaning company.
Oh, okay.
Tons of room for growth there, man.
Sounds like it. Absolutely.
So Oliver Mooney and I are on board as the new West Side Hustlers of this.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, we're going after, like, a lot of communities that are LEED-friendly buildings, so environmentally buildings that were built on the green dollar.
Cool.
It's an interesting deal.
Very nice.
You're looking at me like, Is your commercial over yet?
No, I'm thinking, is this great? Yeah, good for you. I'm very proud of you. Congratulations to you. Congratulations to Bob Bolt. I know he's been successful with this business. It's always good to hear that you're teaming up with a...
an ex-teacher that we really liked.
Oh, he was the best at Carmel.
Best. He was a former hockey player at University of Arizona.
Yeah. He had some one-liners that, you know, obviously they were... probably not for the radio friendly right
no,
now.
No, he would. You'd never get away with that stuff today.
I know, but that's what made him the best.
Uh huh.
And he was, believe it or not, he was our journalism teacher as well.
He was. Yeah. So he could have been the mustard seed that was ingrained in the brain of future Hooli's Hooli episodes.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're gonna have him on the show eventually. So I'm excited to be aligning myself with Bob Bolt and Green Owl. Yeah. Green Owl's out in Homewood, so if anybody wants to look it up on the internet, check it out.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out and a thank you to Len Terrell and his wife Courtney for their generous donation to our Indiegogo campaign.
Yeah, man.
So I hope that they had a very Merry Christmas and that they're going to ring in the new year this week.
Yep.
So congratulations to them. He's got three boys now.
God
so
bless him.
God bless Lenny. A Navy man.
That's right.
His brother Brian grew up with us, and you know, Lenny was always an inspiration for us as young men.
Lenny could spin that yarn.
Absolutely.
He had good stories back in the day. I want to give a shout-out to Josh Huber and his wife Jenny Leonard for also kicking into the Indiegogo campaign.
Okay.
Josh is another, he's a comedy nerd that I've met over the years, and obviously we've known the Leonard family forever.
Yeah.
But Josh is always sending me notes. It's nice to know people are listening, you know? Yeah. He's a fan. God bless you,
hey,
Josh.
Hey, also, you know what? Our former classmate, I don't know if you noticed, that Mike Steven.
Yeah, Off the Loop Radio.
Off the Loop Radio on WGN. He just got named to top three podcasts to listen to, I think, in Chicago Magazine.
Deservably so.
So congratulations, Mike. I hope you're listening to our show. We'd love to be on that list someday with you.
We'd love to have you on our show.
Absolutely.
At some
We'd
time.
Love to have
Take
Mike
Take some
on.
Tips from you. He was he started out working with Kogan and... bunch of those guys. He had to work with cool people at GN.
Did radio at Loyola University.
Yep.
So, Merry Christmas to you, Mike.
All right. Likewise, what else is going on with your life, Bill? We'll turn it around on you now.
I'm just keeping busy, man. Plugging away, trying to organize, trying to keep my, you know, nine jobs in order.
Are you going to have a big New Year's resolution for yourself? Have you thought about it yet?
I got to try to eat healthier, I think.
Really?
You know, because I'm driving around all the time and I'm just, like, you know, going to fast food. I need to, like, you know, better about going to the grocery store and getting eating normally, you know.
Right.
I'm one of those guys that kind of just, you know, sometimes I'll just eat like one big meal a day. It's not healthy for you.
No.
You know? So I got to get better at that.
It happens when you're in the bar industry a lot. I feel like that the routine eating kind of goes out the window.
Yeah, I think it does, but I think also when you're on the, you know, when you're driving on the road all the time like I am too, it's very difficult to, you know, you're trying to cram everything in one day and you don't give yourself that time to sit down and really have
So you're going
to
start your day out with a little Tupperware of carrots and some tuna fish and a carton of milk every day now?
Tuna fish sounds good. I don't know. The Tupperware of carrots, I don't know. I mean,
the guy who brings his lunch to work?
Yeah,
in the booze industry?
Yeah. But nobody sees it. I'd be in my car, you know.
Do you remember the guys at Public Works when you get the guys who brought their own lunch at Public Works? Like, if you ate healthy, you were ridiculed by people.
I know, it was terrible.
What are you eating, carrots? Yeah. What are you, a sissy?
Yeah, right.
Get yourself a meatball sandwich and come back.
Sure.
We got work to do.
Yeah, I didn't...
I want to save my energy. I don't want to eat a meatball sandwich.
Oh, well,
me
that was the, yeah, that was the one guy.
That guy was the best.
Yes, he was.
And Frankie?
Yep, Frank Jeffrey. Yeah, he was a riot, too. That whole experience was hilarious.
Yeah, Bill and I worked at the Public Works in high school. Best job I ever had. The camaraderie was through the moon.
Yeah, and then we got our buddies all hired the following summer, and then that took place for about three summers, and then finally they were like, okay. Yeah. You know, they disbanded the group and told us we weren't invited back. And that wasn't because we did a great job. We did do a great job. They just...
too much camaraderie.
I don't think
too much,
you know...
Too much laughing going on around here.
Too much goofing around. Too much, you know, everybody showing up hungover. You know, we were 21, 19, 20, 21, 18, yep. You know.
Well, one of those fellow St. Luke guys, he's a little bit older than us, is our guest tonight. It's Matthew Francis Anderson.
Yes, he is.
He's on the rise here in Chicago as a country folk artist, and he's going to be showing us, talking about his new album, Blue Line, tonight. And
yeah.
We'll be showcasing a few tracks from that. So when we come back from this short commercial break, we'll speak to Matthew Francis Anderson.
What do you do with an old 401k? If you have a 401k or 403b account at a former employer, there's a good chance that you're not sure what to do with it. It can be an emotional time when you are retiring or changing jobs, but it's especially important not to make hasty decisions with your workplace account. In particular, beware of cashing out, which almost always comes with high taxes and penalties and can undermine your ability to reach your long-term retirement income goals. You generally have four choices of what to do with your old 401k. Where can you get help to decide which choice makes sense for you? Our sponsor, Madden Funds Management, is a specialist in advising, managing, and rolling over 401k accounts. In a phone call or on a visit to Madden's office in Oak Park, Mike Madden will be glad to help you weigh the pros and cons of each option, and if you choose, he can help you implement your choice. There's no fee for the phone call or office visit. The Houlihans and the Maddens have been associated for almost 30 years. We can promise you that the Maddens will give you professional investment advice with never any sales pressure. For more info, go to Madden's website, maddenfunds.com, or call Mike at 708-848-3200. Once again, that number is 708-848-3200. And tell them the Houlihan brothers sent you.
God forbid you should ever have to call a lawyer for a serious injury or wrongful death lawsuit, but if you do, remember Healy Scanlon Law Firm. Our friends Martin Healy Jr. and John Scanlon have been practicing personal injury law for many years. The Healy Scanlon Law Firm has 8 experienced trial attorneys who have been officers of several bar associations, including president of the Illinois Trial Lawyers Association. They've taken on the largest corporations in the world and have won many record-setting multi-million dollar verdicts for their clients. Martin is first-generation Irish-American. His parents came to Chicago from Swinford and Tourmacady, County Mayo, Ireland. He grew up on the west side in Resurrection Parish. John is second-generation Irish with 3 grandparents from Kerry and Mayo. He grew up on the south side in St. John Fisher Parish. God forbid you should ever need a personal injury attorney, but if you do, remember to stick with your own. Healy Scanlon Law Firm. For more information on our friends Martin Healy and John Scanlon and Healy Scanlon Law Firm, go to HealyScanlon.com. See their legal articles in the Irish American News entitled On the Law. Products liability, personal injury, trucking, auto accidents, wrongful death, workers' compensation. Call Martin or John at 312-977-0100 for a free consultation. Healy Scanlon Law Firm, there are people.
Ed Napleton's grandfather, Edward W. Napleton, opened his first automotive business in 1931 on Chicago's South Side. Today, the Napleton family operates more than 50 dealerships in 4 states. The Skinny and Hooley Show is proud to work with Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn, reaching out to our Irish-American community. Our friend Eddie Napleton treats the needs of each individual customer with paramount concern. He knows you have high expectations, and Eddie enjoys the challenge of meeting and exceeding those standards each and every time. So drop into Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn when you're looking for a new or used vehicle. Their experienced sales staff is eager to offer you a great deal on a great car. Go to EdNapletonHonda.com to browse their online inventory, schedule a test drive, and investigate financing options. Call Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn at 888-809-7851 or online at EdNapletonHonda.com or in person at 5800 West 95th Street in Oak Lawn. And tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you, and you'll get that same old Southside Irish welcome that Eddie's grandfather started with way back in 1931.
And we're back. It's the Hooley's Hooley Radio Hour. This is Patty. I'm with my brother Bill. We're listening on you're listening on 1240 AM WSBC here in Chicago. Welcome. It's Saturday night at 7 o'clock. We're about to introduce our next guest.
Yep.
Who is it, Bill?
It's Matthew Francis Anderson.
Matt is a country and folk singer here in Chicago. He's on the rise. He plays Fitzgerald's regularly. We grew up together. We tended bar together, and we're really happy for you, Matt. Welcome to the show.
Oh, well, thanks, guys. It's good to be here. I've been anxious to get on the show. I haven't seen you guys for a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. I think the last time I ran into you was sometime this summer when I was at the Ale House having some
up on the roof.
Sunday afternoon drinks with my girlfriend.
Right. Yeah, right. I was, as a matter of fact, I was meeting...
I think at the time, you were designing the cover of your album, right?
Right,
at the time?
Yeah. Mike Reardon, a friend of mine, he was doing that. I was meeting with him at the Ale House. That's the last time I saw you. I used to see you guys quite a bit when
before
I got married and I wasn't living in the bars or working in the bars. We saw each other a few times a week, but not as much anymore.
Yeah, we tended bar together at Kevel's for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years together, I'd say.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I worked there for 7 years, like the second year that they opened. And that's when I got to, you guys probably knew my sister, Catherine Sis Anderson, long before you knew me, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course.
She's like a year behind you.
Oh, known her since first grade.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met you at Kevel's, and I've been tending bar, and I still tend bar there. And I think I'm going on, this could be 11 years I've been at the K.
11 years?
Oh, man.
It's 11 years at the K. I've heard some stories. A lot of people have died since a lot of my regulars, which is a bizarre thing.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
It is weird because every 10 years you get a new crop of, well, I don't want to call them, you know, you get a new crop of drink people.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. And
that's what people are always asking me. It's like, how's Kevel's? I go, we're turning them over.
Yeah, right. Oh,
no,
boy.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
Yeah. I started drinking there.
So did I.
But it was set back north.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. So I started drinking there when I was about 20. Yeah.
So, Matt, why don't you tell us about how you got into the Blue Line? This is the new album, Blue Line.
Yeah, right. Well, I've been writing songs and gigging for, 10, 15 years.
Yeah, right around the time I met you was around the time you started to really embrace
the
music scene.
Yeah, that most of that I'd owe to Bill and Kate Fitzgerald.
Right.
They're, for a singer-songwriter,
there's
you can't have that place in your backyard. I mean, that place is...
unbelievable.
Like world fame. People, artists around the world know about that place.
So you started lingering around there.
Started lingering around there, and that's when the people that really pushed me, like my writing friends, would be some people you know. Scott Momenti is a longtime Chicago folk artist, and he started the first open mics at Fitzgerald's called the Rhythm and Rhyme Review, and I got to know Scott. Ryan Anderson.
Yes, I do know
he's
Ryan.
He's from St. Giles.
Right.
And he produced Blue Line.
I just see that. I saw that on the credits here.
And our friend Robert McShane.
Sure.
Those three people are probably the three best songwriters I know in Chicago. And, birds of a feather, I guess. We just kind of latched on to each other and listened to each other's songs before anybody else heard them and said, this line sucks and that line's great. Listen to this and just sat around kitchen tables massaging songs and working at it.
And I remember for the longest time, like, I used to go over to your apartment and I think you remember when we were making Tapioca, I think I commissioned you to write a song for that
right.
film. And awesome song that you churned out probably in a few days. And then my dad heard it and he was like, it's not country music.
Yeah, I need
though.
Chicago bluesy.
But who are your main influences as far as singer-songwriters go? I remember you being a big Springsteen guy, but the stuff you play is a little further from what he's into.
Yeah, like most of us West Siders, Springsteen was and still is, like, he was with us through
the pinnacle.
High school and all that.
Yeah.
But once I got past the guitars and those anthems that he writes and I got into the nitty-gritty of it and learned what a great writer he is, I'd listen to interviews and stuff like that, and I'd start to learn about who influenced him and some of his contemporaries. It was a
Yeah.
Springsteen was a slap in the face when I learned about him. What was almost embarrassing was how long I went without knowing who John Prine is.
Sure.
Someone from our own backyard.
Right. And he was a mailman in Westchester. He grew up on First Avenue in Maywood. He went to Proviso East. And, but I only got to know that from, you know, digging into writers, writing. Not rock stars, not guitar gods, nothing like that. You know, writers.
Yeah, exactly. And you're a teacher as well.
And I'm a teacher, yeah.
A grammar.
I teach English and social studies down in Burbank. I was 10 years at St. Agnes of Bohemia in Little Village.
Right.
And now I'm at St. Albert the Great down in Burbank. And it's fantastic.
Oh, I know St. Al's, yeah.
Yeah, well, the principal is Terry O'Rourke. He's from Marist, and he also did some, he worked at Fenwick for a while.
Sure, yeah.
And he's a great guy, so I'm happy to be.
What grade are you teaching those guys?
Seventh grade.
Oh, that's fun.
Well, it's a seventh grade homeroom, but I teach sixth, seventh, and eighth. Yeah.
Cool. So have they heard your music?
I keep it very... They have heard it. Some people are sniffing it out on the internet and stuff like that.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't address it.
Is there is there any method to the madness of how you go about when you want to actually sit down and start writing a song? Or is it something that you just comes to you and then all of a sudden it can flow out of you within 25 minutes?
There is no method. The only thing I could say is that it's like, you know, it's like any car or machine. You know, the more I do it and the older I get, I learn I got to read,
and learn more.
You fill up the tank, and then eventually
something comes out. Yeah.
So it's not a sit-down. Some people do that. You know, I don't everybody works at the craft differently. Some people sit down at the kitchen table with a pot of coffee and just write tons of stuff.
Yeah. Now, you won a songwriting competition recently, which has kind of thrust you into the spotlight for a little while.
Yeah, it did. I was in... My wife is Peruvian,
right?
And we lived in Lima, Peru, for about a year.
Yeah,
and I remember it was as great as it was down there. It was hard to be away from Fitzgerald's in the music scene.
Sure.
And so it made me work even harder, just out of from missing it.
Yeah, and being alone a lot of the time.
Yeah, right. And I remember in February, sweating to death, sitting in my underwear. At our little table in a cinder block apartment with a bottle of wine, and over two or three days, I wrote Blue Line.
That's where you wrote this album?
That's where I wrote the actual song, Blue Line.
Oh, okay,
yeah. The title track. And I submitted it to American Songwriter Magazine.
Right.
They're based down in Nashville. And it won their monthly contest, and then it ended up winning the lyrics for the whole year.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, so I got a Gibson guitar and a trip down to Nashville and recorded. And
recorded the song.
And met with, had a co-writing session with a guy named Hayes Carl.
Yeah.
Who's from Texas. He's a really great guy, great songwriter.
What was that like, just going in to meet him and being like, oh, okay, I'm the guy who won the competition. And they're
you know.
All right, who are you, man? Sit down. You know?
Yeah. He's about our age, so, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. 30. I'm 42, so he's... I don't know, maybe he's a little closer to my age.
Yeah.
But
is he the one that works with Emmylou Harris?
No. No, okay. he works solo. I mean, he's got a band and stuff.
Sure.
But that was cool. You know, we did more talking about the business and just people we know, cuz we have some mutual friends.
Right.
And just songwriting rather than trying to write a song together.
Sure.
And then in the on Music Row, I had to go to was invited to go to a recording studio to record any song I wanted with these Nashville
engineers.
Studio guys, session players, and I had to wait in the waiting room before John, is his name John Rich,
from Big and
Big
Rich.
Big and Rich, and he was the country or the Celebrity Apprentice and stuff like that. So I had to wait for him to get out, and that was it. You know, it was a good 2 days in Nashville and. Getting a sniff of that life.
All right, so the song that won that competition is Blue Line. It's also the title track on the album Blue Line, which sits right here in front of me. Is this your debut album?
Yeah. It's technically an EP.
It's an EP.
Yeah, seven songs. But my first release.
All right, so let's listen to Blue Line.
Blue Line.
of December, but I know your favorite song. And the charcoal scarf wrapped round your neck that you wore all season long. And I can't remember the sound of your voice, but I remember your laugh just like I remember the rain. And the potholes thumping and the manholes snapping like the rhythm of the Blue Line train. And the potholes thumping and the manholes snapping like the rhythm of the Blue Line train. But I can recall all of the pages you read me in the back of my brother's car. We shared cigarettes and your eyes were as tired as the paint on passing barns. Crossing the river would only deliver a worn out verse from a worn out name. But I listened and stared and pretended I cared neath the pop of the roof in the rain. Yeah, we shared cigarettes and your eyes were as tired as the paint on the passing barns. State line and the shorelines of jack pines, the prairies just ran out of grass. And the trumpets lay still, all alone on the hill, and the creeks found a shallow path. Now the birches lay bare in the cold winter air. It steals the breath straight out of your lungs. And the night pulls the heat like a thread from the street, and the Blue Line bangs like a drum. Somewhere between the state line and the shorelines of jack pines, the prairies just ran out of grass. Potholes thumping and the manholes snapping like the rhythm of the Blue Line train.
Blue Line, Matthew Francis Anderson. You can find the new album Blue Line on Amazon, CD Baby, iTunes.
Yeah.
MatthewFrancisAnderson.com. That's Anderson with an E-N.
Right, yeah. And it's at Val's Hollow Records, too.
Yeah. Okay, sure, in Oak Park.
Have you ever played over for Val? Have you ever played in the store there?
No.
No. That's a common thing with a lot of local artists.
Yeah, she's starting to, I don't know how long she's been doing it, but yeah, she is in store. She's got like a little stage area there.
Yeah. While we were... While Blue Line was playing, Matt and I were talking about, I was recounting the times that you worked as a fishing guide in where was it, Big Saint or Little Saint Germain, Wisconsin?
Well, I was living in Eagle River. Yeah. I was a walleye and a muskie guide up there. And
this was before I knew you.
Yeah, right. I was like 26 years old. This was, it was like 98. I don't know, what's that, 15 years ago, something like that. Yeah, I was a muskie and a walleye guide living in Eagle River, Wisconsin, and I'd fish all that water up there in the Upper Peninsula, Crystal Falls, Iron River, Minocqua, Boulder Junction.
Yeah.
All that.
And you're still very passionate about fishing.
Still, yeah, very passionate about it. You know, now I'm just a vacationer, but...
Biggest fish I ever caught was probably like a 4-inch perch.
Matt, how did you get into the guide thing? Did you, because you grew up in the western suburbs, you're like, okay, I didn't grow up on a lake or anything like that.
Yeah, well, my father was a fisherman, and towards the end of his life, he was an outdoor writer and publisher, because he was a writer.
Right.
But he would, when we would vacation up on Big St. Germain.
Yeah. I see that you dedicated the album to a special thanks to your dad here at the end here.
Yeah, right.
Very cool. Robert Anderson.
He would take me out. He would hire a guide. Yeah. And we got to know a guide up there. And when I was about 26, I wanted to give it a shot. And he said, well, if you're going to be this guide, said, if you want to be a guide, you're going to need something else to do to make money. Nobody's just going to start hiring you every day. They don't even know who you are.
Right.
Sure. He said, so you should like be a bartender or something. And he said, you know what, let me call my wife. We own a supper club, and I think one of our bartenders quit. And he called, and he said, yeah, if you want to start, like, on opening day.
In Eagle River?
Yeah. So I quit my job in advertising, moved up to Eagle River, and bartended all season, you know, just about all year.
Right.
And then I'd guide whenever I could get jobs. And a lot of those came over the bar and stuff.
Lots of brandy old fashions up there in Wisconsin?
Lots of brandy old. They really know how to make them.
Now, your inspiration for your music, does a lot of that come from the solidarity of, I mean, it is a lonely world as a bartender a lot of times. People don't understand that you're meeting new people all the time, but you are kind of in your own head.
Yeah, you are, right.
And then you're out on the river a lot.
Then you're out on the water, and, you know, you learn more about...
human nature.
Yeah, right? You learn more about fishing, not catching fish. Yeah. Than you do about catching them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got plenty of time to dwell and think about stuff.
Right, yeah. So, it's a very...
therapeutic.
Right, it's a solitary, you know, the world of a writer is not social.
No, it's no. Well, it is, but it isn't, because there's a lot of cocktailing involved
You know, when you go out and do that kind of stuff, you know, it's always got... If you were to tell somebody... Matthew Anderson's going to go, he quit his job, he's going to tour the country with his CD and go into bars and play gigs. And then, he might, you know, drink and at the bar with other songwriters. People would be like, oh, what a dirty lifestyle.
Yes.
But if you said that, oh, he wrote a book and he's going to go on a book tour and give readings at Barnes and Normals, Barnes and Nobles.
Man's a genius.
Right. It's the same thing. It's just, you know,
it is the same thing.
You know, songs or poems or whatever you want to call it. But
yes, they are.
Oh, well, that's the way people see it.
Now, what's coming up? Are we doing anything live soon? I saw that you sent me, your people sent me something here that says...
Yeah, I'm going to have a local...
Friday, January 2nd.
Friday, January 2nd.
At Fitzgerald's.
At Fitzgerald's in the sidebar, in the music room, in the quiet room. It'll be the official release of the EP Blue Line. And I'll be opening for a guy named Kevin Gordon.
Okay.
Who's from Louisiana.
He's a collaborator of Lucinda Williams.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's where I'm getting... I don't know why I was thinking Emmylou Harris. Lucinda Williams.
Yeah,
and that's why I was thinking that. I knew it was a big name in folk and country. But...
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay.
And he's fantastic. So I'll be happy to share a night with him.
Have you ever played with Kevin before?
No.
So Billy just... Bill Fitzgerald, he's the booking agent, just pairs you guys up?
Right, yeah.
Well, that's kind of a fun experience. That's kind of exciting, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, Kevin Gordon's he's a monster guitarist, you know, blues and folky kind of stuff. But this is a...
quieter
He may
room.
Have one other guy with him. So it's going to be more of an acoustic night.
Scaled down thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
So that's where Bill saw a good opportunity to...
do the CD release.
Yeah, so he can get my audience, can see
and he can
Kevin,
get the Kevin Gordon audience in, and you you guys can trade off each other, which is awesome. Right. I'll probably be at that show.
Okay, excellent.
And then we got February 18th through the 22nd is the Folk Alliance International Winter Conference.
Yeah.
And they've given you an official showcase slot, yeah, which is right. Awesome.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That is amazing.
I've never been down there to that, so I don't know all the details.
Where is it exactly?
It's in Kansas City.
All right, Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah, and it's like a four-day, well, it's like a trade show for folkies, okay. You know, for singer-songwriters.
Sure, yes.
But Rita Coolidge is going to be the keynote speaker.
That's Chris Christopherson's ex-wife.
Yeah, right, exactly. Sure. And a lot of other people, you know, that I know from, you know, the clubs and just...
Yeah, there's got to be a real network. I mean, have you ever gone on a major tour? Do you think Blue Line could do that? Maybe this summer you'll be hitting the road with it?
If... I'm going to hit the road, a lot, weekends and stuff, especially this summer. But I already got plans. I almost got the next record written, so...
Awesome.
Yeah, so... I don't know exactly when I'm going to get into the studio to do that. But definitely when that comes out, for sure, I'm going to hit it super, super hard. But yeah, right. this spring, I'll be out with Blue Line quite a bit. And
Who backs you up when you play?
There's only two people on this album.
That aren't you.
Yeah. No, well, just me. And then Ryan Anderson does mandolin, acoustic guitar,
right,
background vocals, and he produced it. So usually Ryan plays with me. He'll be playing with me at Fitzgerald's. He lives in Nashville now.
And does he really?
Yeah, he's on the West. He may be home now. He was on the West Coast for a tour.
Okay.
But he fronted the band Go Long Mule.
Yeah.
Who was, you know, they were big in Chicago.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but it's just he and I are on this record.
That's pretty killer. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to play another song off of Blue Line, and I believe it's going to be called Honey Hole, right, Matt?
Yeah, right. That's about fishing in the North Woods.
We dig that. Cool.
What do you do with an old 401k? If you have a 401k or 403b account at a former employer, there's a good chance that you're not sure what to do with it. It can be an emotional time when you are retiring or changing jobs, but it's especially important not to make hasty decisions with your workplace account. In particular, beware of cashing out, which almost always comes with high taxes and penalties and can undermine your ability to reach your long-term retirement income goals. You generally have four choices of what to do with your old 401k. Where can you get help to decide which choice makes sense for you? Our sponsor, Madden Funds Management, is a specialist in advising, managing, and rolling over 401k accounts. In a phone call or on a visit to Madden's office in Oak Park, Mike Madden will be glad to help you weigh the pros and cons of each option, and if you choose, he can help you implement your choice. There's no fee for the phone call or office visit. The Houlihans and the Maddens have been associated for almost 30 years. We can promise you that the Maddens will give you professional investment advice with never any sales pressure. For more info, go to Madden's website, maddenfunds.com, or call Mike at 708-848-3200. Once again, that number is 708-848-3200. And tell them the Houlihan brothers sent you.
Ed Napleton's grandfather, Edward W. Napleton, opened his first automotive business in 1931 on Chicago's South Side. Today, the Napleton family operates more than 50 dealerships in four states. The Skinny and Hooley Show is proud to work with Ed Napleton Honda in Oaklawn, reaching out to our Irish-American community. Our friend Eddie Napleton treats the needs of each individual customer with paramount concern. He knows you have high expectations, and Eddie enjoys the challenge of meeting and exceeding those standards each and every time. So drop into Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn when you're looking for a new or used vehicle. Their experienced sales staff is eager to offer you a great deal on a great car. Go to EdNapletonHonda.com to browse their online inventory, schedule a test drive, and investigate financing options. Call Ed Napleton Honda in Oak Lawn at 888-809-7851 or online at EdNapletonHonda.com or in person at 5800 West 95th Street in Oak Lawn. And tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you, and you'll get that same old Southside Irish welcome that Eddie's grandfather started with way back in 1931.
God forbid you should ever have to call a lawyer for a serious injury or wrongful death lawsuit, but if you do, remember Healy Scanlon Law Firm. Our friends Martin Healy Jr. and John Scanlon have been practicing personal injury law for many years. The Healy Scanlon Law Firm has 8 experienced trial attorneys who have been officers of several bar associations, including president of the Illinois Trial Lawyers Association. They've taken on the largest corporations in the world and have won many record-setting multi-million dollar verdicts for their clients. Martin is first-generation Irish-American. His parents came to Chicago from Swinford and Tourmacady, County Mayo, Ireland. He grew up on the west side in Resurrection Parish. John is second-generation Irish with three grandparents from Kerry and Mayo. He grew up on the south side in St. John Fisher Parish. God forbid you should ever need a personal injury attorney, but if you do, remember to stick with your own. Healy Scanlon Law Firm. For more information on our friends Martin Healy and John Scanlon and Healy Scanlon Law Firm, go to HealyScanlon.com. See their legal articles in the Irish American News entitled On the Law. Products liability, personal injury, trucking, auto accidents, wrongful death, workers' compensation. Call Martin or John at 312-977-0100 for a free consultation. Healy Scanlon Law Firm, they're our people.
Bucket full of minnows, and I'm heading for the honey hole. Trees are on fire in a burning ball of red and gold. I got a bucket full of minnows, and I'm heading for the honey hole. Hook 'em in the head, jig 'em up and down in the weeds. Drag 'em on the bottom, pitch 'em in the shallow trees. Hook 'em in the head and jig 'em up. Evinrude motor, gas stand ready to go. My hand upon the tiller, she's humming like never before. I got an Evinrude motor, gas stand ready to go. Cigarette and it's hanging right from my lips. In a little bit of wind, it's kind of hard to get her lit. I got Camel cigarette and it's hanging right from my lips. And if the game warden's looking, don't you tell him where I might be found. I was with his daughter, and now he's tearing up the town. And if the game warden's looking, don't you tell him where I might be found. I got a bucket full of minnows, and I'm heading for the honey hole. On fire in a burning ball of red and gold. I got a bucket full of minnows and I'm heading for the honey hole. I got a bucket full of minnows and I'm heading for the honey hole. Thank you.
Yes, that was Honey Hole off the new Blue Line EP by Matthew Francis Anderson. It's about fishing. I like the lyrics in that. I like the Camel cigarette lyric because I like cigarettes.
Yeah.
Well, that was my dad. He always smoked Camels.
Yeah, that's cool, I guess.
Yeah, right.
There's so much, you know, people are so angry towards the cigarette people these days.
Yeah, right.
Do you still smoke?
Nope.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's been several years.
God, man, I got to get off of them.
Yep.
What were we just talking about? Oh, we were talking about Berwyn.
You're
a Berwyn resident.
I'm a Berwyn resident. I'm a Nobie.
Yeah.
North Berwyn.
It's a great neighborhood. At least it's nice and close to Fitzgerald's. It lets you just pop out of the house whenever you want.
Yeah, if I... I'll drive, but if I feel a fun night coming on, I'll just walk up there.
Yeah, sure, why not? Absolutely.
Cool, and I think a fun night is going to be Friday, January 2nd at 9 p.m. when Matthew Francis Anderson opens for Kevin Gordon.
That's right.
At Fitzgerald's in the quiet room, no pun intended there.
Yeah, right. No, this is
because
it
does not get real quiet there. It's just a smaller room.
Yeah, right. No, this is the, you know, acoustic show, you know, for songwriters, so...
And there's a bar right
sit
there.
Sit and listen.
Is that the sidebar there they call that there? Or?
It's the sidebar, but not in that room.
When you go in there, there's a banquet type.
I don't want to say banquet room, but it's
very
it's a cool
room. I'll be there. I was there last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who'd you see?
The Des Plaines River Band.
All right.
Yeah. They had their reunion
old
show.
Old friends. Cool.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. That was a one-time only for them. Because they're all disbanded. At least that's what they say when they promote the show at Fitzgerald's. But we had a good time. They had a good time.
Last time only, yeah. My father-in-law, good Cliff Johnson, of the Off-Broadway band and fame in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
I think Off-Broadway's had like 40 comeback shows.
Yeah,
sure.
And I was like, Cliff, I thought you guys were done. He's like, we were, but you know what? Christmas is coming, and we're getting a band back together. And it always worked because they would pack the house. So,
well, they're a lot of fun to see.
They are.
Fitzgerald's a great venue to see, you know. You know, I'm not going to get into the competition down the street, but there's nothing like seeing a show at Fitzgerald's.
Nothing.
I saw Otis Clay there. That was amazing.
Fitzgerald's is the best.
And just the nostalgia behind it when you think about the movies, you know, The Color of Money and A League of Their Own.
You can go sit in the same bar stool that Paul Newman said.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Eddie gave you a Balabushka?
Yeah, right. Eddie Felsen gave me a Balabushka.
Yeah, and the Bodines are playing in the background in that scene.
Yeah, right.
Which is pretty cool.
It's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Is it? We were just talking about it the other day at the bar.
Robbie Robertson does the score. Come on.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty killer from Robbie Robertson of the fan band. Of the fan band or just the band?
The fan.
Yeah.
The fan. All right, so we're going to do one more number here from Blue Line because it's rolling right along. And this song is called The Catalyst.
That's right.
What's this song about, Matt?
Oh, just about some crazy girl. That's just out of her mind and plays music and gets into trouble and doesn't last long.
Okay. Did we know this girl at one time?
No, just in my head. I remember years ago I was down in Atlanta, Georgia, and I was at a punk garage band type of festival. Yeah. There was this band called The Vendettas.
I know them.
You do? Yeah. Right. Well, the lead singer was this girl named Buffy, and she was playing in a furry white bikini.
Yeah,
and she's tough as nails.
Yeah,
and could sing and scream, and it was
just cool.
I was smitten. In love and smitten, and it stuck with me ever since.
Okay, so that
she's not as terrible as the person in the song, but
that's
who's in my mind.
Okay, cool. Let's hear it. This is Catalyst.
I was behind her in a drugstore outside of Prairie du Chien. She was buying herself some vodka to go with her lemonade. She had a panther on her shoulder, go-go boots that made her hip. A 1950s hairdo and an earring in her lip. And from the road I saw a farmhouse burn into the ground. But in her eyes I've seen a catalyst that turns this world around.
tribe of all her people, and they hang out in the street. And each one shares a needle, and they call themselves freaks. You better watch out after sundown for the alleyways she haunts. I seen her belt a jock with a trash can lid and whip his debutante. And from the road I saw a farmhouse burn into the ground. But in her eyes I've seen the catalyst that turns this world around. Day around 11 at the Wisconsin Music Fest, she took the stage with her band. She wore panties and a vest. Well, they played and screamed and kicked and yelled, and each song went twice as fast. She passed out in the second row, and that song would be her last. And from the road I saw a farmhouse burn into the ground. But in her eyes I've seen the catalyst that turns this world around. And from the road I saw a farmhouse burn into the ground. But in her eyes I've seen the catalyst that turns this world around. In her eyes I've seen the catalyst that turns this world around.
Yeah, I dig that one.
All right.
That was great.
Yeah, they're not all sad ballads.
No, not at all.
Although I love sad ballads.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
I like that one a lot. That could be a big hit, I think, Matt. The Catalyst.
Good.
Off of Blue
Good.
Line.
Glad you like it.
Matthew Francis Anderson. Matt, I want to thank you for being on our guest show.
Thanks, Matt.
No, really, the pleasure is mine, guys. It was good to see you again.
Always.
We need to hang out some more.
Next time, we're going to do it live.
Okay.
And we'll play some tunes.
Yeah, you know? Right. That'd be good. I'm getting over a bit of laryngitis here, but otherwise I've been happy to do it tonight. But, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. All right. So, everybody, Matt, where can we find you? Friday, January 2nd, Fitzgerald's.
Right. A week from Friday, January 2nd, Fitzgerald's. Go on about 9 o'clock.
In the quiet room.
In the quiet room, yeah.
And Kevin Gordon, you'll be opening for Kevin Gordon.
That's right. That's right.
All right. And his CD, Blue Line, is available on CD Baby, Amazon, iTunes, and you can find it at Matthew Francis Anderson, S-E-N, .com.
That's right.
Matt, thanks again.
Matt, thanks a lot.
Thanks,
it was
guys.
Great having
I
you on the show.
I appreciate it.
Happy New Year to you.
I appreciate it. Happy New Year, guys.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break.
What do you do with an old 401k? If you have a 401k or 403b account at a former employer, there's a good chance that you're not sure what to do with it. It can be an emotional time when you are retiring or changing jobs, but it's especially important not to make hasty decisions with your workplace account. In particular, beware of cashing out, which almost always comes with high taxes and penalties and can undermine your ability to reach your long-term retirement income goals. You generally have four choices of what to do with your old 401k. Where can you get help to decide which choice makes sense for you? Our sponsor, Madden Funds Management, is a specialist in advising, managing, and rolling over 401k accounts. In a phone call or on a visit to Madden's office in Oak Park, Mike Madden will be glad to help you weigh the pros and cons of each option, and if you choose, he can help you implement your choice. There's no fee for the phone call or office visit. The Houlihans and the Maddens have been associated for almost 30 years. We can promise you that the Maddens will give you professional investment advice with never any sales pressure. For more info, go to Madden's website, maddenfunds.com, or call Mike at 708-848-3200. Once again, that number is 708-848-3200, and tell them the Houlihan Brothers sent you.
Come into my office, Mr. Finnegan. How can I help you?
Doctor, you got to help me. I'm having panic attacks, terrible anxiety.
You just need some hooliganism.
Hooliganism? What is that, some new medicine?
It's an elixir for what ails you, Mr. Finnegan.
Is it a pill? Do you swallow it?
It'll relax you. Rick Hogan of WGN says it oozes Chicago. He also says it's fantastic.
But what the heck is it?
It's the new book by Mike Houlihan. Everyone's talking about it. Frank West of the Irish American News says it's filled with human warmth and you should read it when you need a good laugh.
Hooliganism, the book. Hey, my wife said you were a doctor.
I am a doctor, and hooliganism is my prescription. The New World said Southsiders would rank it up with the Book of Kells.
Well, what about my irregularity?
Read Hooliganism. You'll find it very moving.
Hey, you're not a doctor.
I'm a psychiatrist, Mr. Finnegan, and I can tell what you need is a nice dose of hooliganism.
But my wife said you had her undress and you examined her.
Yes, she appears to be very healthy, Mr. Finnegan. Oh, nurse...
Hooliganism is the new book by Mike Houlihan. You can purchase it online at www.mikehoulihan.com or at any of Chicago's finer Irish gift shops.
Nurse, will the doctor be giving me a prescription for hooliganism?
Do you have insurance, Mr. Finnegan?
I've been hooliganed.
And we're back. It's the Hoolies Hooli, 1240 a.m., WSBC.
Yeah.
Saturday night in Chicago. We just had Matthew Francis Anderson.
That was great.
Kicking off some tunes for us from his debut EP, Blue Line. And Matt, right as he was leaving, reminded me that he was in Tapioca.
That's
the
right.
Film.
He was in our film Tapioca.
And he played bar patron number 11. Oh, yeah, you were Hef.
That's right.
I forgot that we named the characters. Hef. Yeah. And Pipes McGonagall, Dad's character, just screams at him. And he says, I sold myself too cheap, and then just like your mother or something like that. And the whole bar goes, oh.
Yeah.
And Pipes gets kicked out.
That's right.
That was a fun day, actually, with all the people we had down at the bar shooting that scene.
Geez, now that I think about it, you don't think about Tibby. It's been 7 years since we made that, right? No longer than that. When we shoot that in 06?
06, yeah, 06, 07.
Yeah.
Yep.
Time flies, my friend.
Time flies. But you know what another thing about time is? Time, people remember. And I was just looking at the news today, and one of the things that made me crack up this week was that Manti Te'o is still upset that people are still making fun of his fake girlfriend. He says they need to find a new joke.
Yeah. He's going to live with that the rest of his life.
I guess. That killed me, though. That was one of those things, like... Because he's not having the greatest career, is he, Manti?
I haven't heard. I don't know. He's on the San Diego Chargers, right?
Yes, he is. He's a former Notre Dame player that had the fake girlfriend.
I don't think he's starting or anything like that.
But, yeah, it's been... Te'o was asked about San Francisco 49ers lineman Anthony Davis's tweet that he snapped after Davis brought up the late, not real, Lene Kuka during game Sunday.
Forgot she actually had a name.
Yeah, Lene Kuka.
Lene Kuka.
And, Te'o admitted to the San Diego Union-Tribune that he was not amused. Far from it, very angry that...
I can't imagine going through something like that. Or just even, to lie at that extent, you know what I mean?
There's something weird going on there.
I don't know. Yeah, definitely.
What else is going on?
Well, the Bulls are a little... They're playing well. The Blackhawks
Jimmy
are on
Butler's
fire.
Crushing it,
yeah,
man.
Jimmy Butler or something.
Marquette University grad. That's
he's playing like an all-star, man. He had a double-double the other night.
They scored 49 points like a week ago
in
that second half. Yeah.
In the fourth quarter. No, they scored 49 points in the fourth quarter, not Jimmy Butler.
That's what I mean.
But Jordan never did that. I was starting to think, wait a minute here.
No, it was a pretty amazing feat.
Yeah, it was. And the Hawks are hot.
They are.
They're taking a little break, though, after
losing their...
Well, they've been on break. I think they start up tomorrow night again.
Hawks have had a rough year. They lost Sal Ferrara. And now they lost their equipment manager.
Yeah, people that were very close to the organization, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. That was very sad to hear about that 34-year-old man that was there.
Yeah.
I don't know his name offhand. And obviously our condolences to the boys of the NYPD.
Yes.
And about their loss. That was tragic as well.
Yes, it is. And let's hope that we can find peace in this new year.
Yeah, definitely.
What are you going to do for New Year's? Anything?
Last year I bartended a party up at Duffy's. And it was a great time. But I haven't heard anything. I don't think there is a party there. It's not my night to work.
Right.
So I'm thinking about going up to Lake Geneva and just hanging out with Bridget and ringing in the new year up there.
Oh, how nice. Must be nice.
Yes, it'll be wonderful.
I'll be in my apartment pacing.
Who, you will?
Yeah.
You're not going to do it? You and Haley aren't going to crack any bubbly or anything like that?
Maybe. You never know.
I have to work. Oh, no, I have to work. I don't have to work New Year's Day, but I have to work the following day. So.
Right.
The days of really hitting it on New Year's Eve are over for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, wait a second. New Year's Eve would be
Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'll be working early, but all right. Well, the show's coming to a close. I still want to tell everybody to go to our Indiegogo campaign. We still want to take the show remote, start doing it from bars,
absolutely,
restaurants. Until then, I look forward to hearing from all of you when we kick off this Facebook page. Happy New Year. Until next week, this has been Hooli's Hooli.
See you later.